Have you ever heard or read something multiple times and one day it just clicks for you? Well, that's what I have found happening in my life lately. It seems like very simple, basic truths that I have known about or read for years and decades have suddenly started clicking in my life, just taking on a new found meaning. And that is why today I'm going to share verses with you that you've probably heard dozens of times. But I ask you right now to go to the Lord and ask Him to help you hear this with a fresh set of ears. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Just ask the Lord to help you hear these with a new set of ears. Let it sink into your heart. Because the verse that we're going to talk about today is in Mark 11:24. That says, when you pray, believe. When you pray, believe. Or as I like to call it, life 101. So many things that God gives us in His Word are just basics on how to live the life that God has called you and I to. And we need to constantly drive home in our hearts that God loves you more than you love yourself. I don't think there's any child in the world that has loving parents whose parent does not want them to succeed even more than the child himself. And God wants so many good things for us in our life. And the reality is we can point the finger and say, well, Satan has robbed me, Satan has ripped me off, and that's partially true. But I'll be the first one to tell you, and this is a hard lesson to learn, that most of the goodness of God that we have missed out on in our life is of our own doing. The life that we're living today is really a direct result of our own words. The life that we're living today is really the direct result of our own belief system. Jesus, in Mark chapter 11, is teaching an object lesson to His disciples. And this is in the last week of Jesus' life, and they're coming into the city of Jerusalem. And this is right before He throws the money changers out of the temple. But in Mark chapter 11 and in verse 12 we read, and on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, He was hungry, Jesus. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, He came, if haply He might find anything thereon. And when He came to it, He found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, the tree, He spoke to the tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And His disciples heard it. When Jesus came to this fig tree, it says, seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, He came if haply He might find anything thereon. Apparently, before the figs actually came, there was a little bud that by the time the fig tree had these leaves, it should have these little tiny buds that were very sweet, sweet like candy. And if the tree had leaves but no buds, it meant that it was not going to produce any figs in the future. Now, there's an allegory here about what was going on with the nation of Israel at the time and their rejection of the Messiah, but that's not what we're going to look at today. What I want you to see is this object lesson that Jesus is teaching His disciples. He spoke to the tree. He spoke to the problem. He spoke to the tree and said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And the disciples heard it. Yeah, they must have been wondering why He was speaking to a tree. And we know for one thing, just to put all questions to bed right here, that Jesus had to speak this by the will of God. He spoke it by revelation because He said that He of Himself did nothing. So please don't walk away with this teaching walking around killing trees when you leave here just to see if it works. He spoke this according to the will of God, which is so dynamically important in what we're going to look at here today. He spoke this according to the will of God. So He spoke to the tree to give them an object lesson in verse 19. And when even was come, He went out of the city, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto Him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed or doomed is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, here's the lesson, have faith in God. You know, sometimes we get so wrapped up in him speaking to a tree and how the tree died from the roots and all that, that we miss the point, which is to have faith in God. Do you know why most of us are so messed up in our life, or we have problems in our life that we're still contending with over and over? It's because we think we're going to change things by our faith, and we're really going to change our life by having faith in God. You know, as people say sometimes, you've got the emphasis on the wrong syllable. You've got the emphasis on the wrong syllable. The emphasis, people, in making things come to pass in our life is always G-O-D, God our Father. Since God told Jesus how to handle that situation, and Jesus spoke it in faith according to the will of God, then what Jesus spoke came to pass because it was done in faith according to God's word. And the object lesson of Mark 11 is to have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his head, in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Jesus right here is pointing to a physical mountain, and he's saying, have faith in God, because if according to God's will, he would tell you for some reason to tell that mountain to go jump in the lake, and you would believe that that's the word of God, so that you would not doubt in your heart, in your innermost belief system, in that which makes you you, but not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. That's the key. See, somehow, some way, one day you heard that you could speak in tongues, and you got to the place in your heart where you believed that it was God's will for you to have this perfect prayer language. And one day you opened your mouth and you moved your lips and you uttered forth sounds of a language that you did not understand, because in your heart you believe that this is the will of God for your life. This is one of the reasons I love speaking in tongues so much, because every time I speak in tongues, I have already seen that we can bring the supernatural into the natural. And that every promise, God is a covenant God, and that every promise of God works with the same absolute simplicity. A few months ago, I taught about how every time we receive something from God, grace and faith, we receive it as simply as we receive salvation, our initial salvation. Verse 23, for verily, or of a truth, I say unto you, that whosoever shall say words unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith, words, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Words, words, words. The power of our word lining up with God's word is the greatest power that we'll experience in this lifetime. I know that I used to go around telling people, did you know that you have more potential power than Niagara Falls? And we do. We have that power resident, under our authority as we're under his authority. Because God's word set the world in place. He spoke his will into motion. We're going to look at that a little later on in this teaching. When we line our words up with God's word, his promise, his testimony, his covenant, then power explodes in our life. And that is why the life that we are currently living today is the direct result of my own words, of your own words. By either lining our words, our belief, up with God's word, or by confessing the lie from hell. And so when we change our thought life, our beliefs, towards a passage of Scripture, then we change our life. Because God's word is more powerful than an atom bomb. There is no atom bomb that can raise someone from the dead. It was just recently that my own mother-in-law was raised from the dead. She had been dead for an hour, and she came back to life. I don't know how you look at that, but I look at that as a miracle, as a miracle, as a supernatural happening. And I know that right after it happens, your mind starts to get scientific on you and say, oh yeah, but she wasn't really dead and this and... No, people, she was dead. She was code blue for an hour. They normally stop resuscitation efforts after 12 to 15 minutes. And this woman came back to life by the power of someone speaking the word. I remember we had been told that she was dead and that she was brain dead. And Chris had been told by the doctor, just fly up here. We're going to keep her lungs and heart going by artificial means until you can reach Connecticut. And by the time Chris got up there, his mother was sitting up in bed ready to do a crossword puzzle with him. Because between the time Chris got on that plane and got up there, I just pulled the car over to the side of the road and I said, Lord God, you are in charge of all power in the universe, and therefore, by the authority and power of Jesus Christ, I command my mother-in-law to come back to life. And bam, she was sitting up and in her right mind by the time he got up there. That was the power of God. That's the power of God that not only I, but you and every person listening to this tape can tap into every day of our life if we so choose. I don't use this record to puff myself up because, if anything, it's demeaning that I use it so infrequently. If anything, it humbles me that I'm not smart enough or faithful enough or humble enough to tap into God's power on a more regular basis, to the end that I allow the adversary to get his licks in and sometimes almost knock me out of the ring. I mean, I'm almost ashamed to even teach this teaching because I use it too infrequently myself. And yet right now I'm making a conviction in my heart to change that. I want to do this more often. I want to do this daily. I want to live for God and in the power of God on a daily basis. And as I said, it shames me to admit I haven't done this as much in the past as I could have, as I should have, as God would have had me to. Because God wants us to walk in victory. And he has set up everything in life. He has already given us victory in Christ Jesus in every situation. But we are the ones who must line our words up with his word. Because words get physical results. When we glom onto, when we lock onto the supernatural truths in God's word, we bring supernatural results into a physical world which manifests in physical results. My mother-in-law is physically alive right now. In Proverbs 8:20 and 21, it says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Well, we love our own words more than anybody else's words. We put more esteem in our own word than anybody else's word. I mean, you can read the word of God until you're blue in the face. But until the words on the page become part of your belief system, they're just black ink on white paper. What makes our life change is believing that this book, or at times the revelation that we would get directly from God, that these are, thus saith the Lord. That this power has the power to change your life. That God is not up there moving everybody around with puppet strings, telling you what you can and can't believe. That you have the power, in essence, to create your life by tapping into the Creator and changing circumstances. By the power of His Word. By being a child under the authority of your father. See, a man's belly shall be satisfied. That's a physical reality. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. So if you're always going around talking negative, talking lack, talking unbelief, then that will be your physical circumstances. If you go around confessing the word, and we're going to look at some promises here in a few minutes, if you go around confessing the word and the truth of God's word, then those will become your physical circumstances. Like it says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You know, we live a life of such deception. And that we think that we can curse things or say negative things or tell somebody the very worst possible situation and it's not going to affect us. I know the other day I came down here to use my computer. I think I was trying to get on the internet. And a process I was trying to do didn't work. And I said, oh, you piece of junk, you never work. And I got up and walked away and I just stopped in my tracks. And I said, wow, I have just cursed the fig tree. I have just told my computer, you're a piece of junk. And you said, well, Peg, you're talking crazy. You're talking to a computer. I'm talking to my life. I'm talking to the things that either support or don't support my life. And right then I just stopped in my tracks and I repented. And I said, Lord, I am sorry for cursing my computer. That was a sin. That was wrong thinking. And I came back and I just touched my computer screen on the top and I said, man, you are such an awesome invention. You are such a wonderful computer. God gave me you, my computer, to bless my life. And you know what? I went back in and did the exact same function and everything worked beautifully. I didn't go in and clean any fragments up. I didn't have to redo a program. I didn't reboot. I just spoke different words to my computer, and it worked. I remember one time when I was a youngster, I think I was probably 24, 25, I was driving from Rome, Georgia, down to Savannah for a summer outreach program to be what was called a Minuteman. I was going to witness for the Lord and run Bible classes down in Savannah, Georgia. And about halfway down there, I noticed smoke coming through my dashboard up by my feet. And the smoke coming into my car started getting thicker and thicker and thicker. And pretty soon the smoke was so thick, I had all four windows down and I had to drive with my head out the window. And about the time that smoke was billowing that bad in my car, I was able to pull into a gas station. And they told me that my something had burned out. And it had burned out the something inside my motor so that it was going, ee-oh. You could hear metal rubbing against metal. I mean, it was making the most awful sound. I had to put my fingers in my ears because the sound was just 100 times worse than fingernails grating on a blackboard. And when I pulled it in and the smoke was billowing out and they heard this sound, these two mechanics said, ain't no use fixing that because that motor stove up. It ain't going to operate. It's burned up. And I just said, look, you replace the water hoses because in the name of Jesus Christ, my car is going to work. And I said, car, I command you to work. And these guys just laughed me to scorn. They just laughed so hard, they're punching each other with their elbows, saying, look at this lunatic. But guess what? When they replaced the hoses on my car, and they filled it up with water and replaced the oil in my car, and they turned that key, it just went vroom. And it purred like a kitten. And you should have seen these two old grease monkeys with their mouths hanging wide open, staring at me, going, what on earth just happened? And I'm sure that in their mind, they immediately rationalized, well, her engine really wasn't broken. I'm sure my engine was broken. I'm sure it was totally trashed. But it came back by the power of the word believe, because I believed that I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ, and that I was on a mission for God, and that anything that I needed, the Lord would provide for me to carry on His work. Well, aren't we all ambassadors full-time, whether we believe it or not? Yep. Now, therefore, you're ambassadors, ambassadors, ambassadors. Well, if you're an ambassador for the Creator of the heaven and earth, how does He want you to look? Healthy, prosperous, well, things going in your favor. And so those two old grease monkeys, they just looked like they were about to pass out. But see, Matthew 12:36 says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." We are where we are today, where our words have taken us. Because I could have joined in concert with those two mechanics and said, "Yep, you're right, my car's ruined, what am I going to do? I have no transportation, I can't get to Savannah, I'm 2 hours away." And that's where I would have been, sitting on the curb in that gas station trying to figure things out. But I did not speak an idle word. I spoke a word of faith. Not faith in me, but faith in my God. But faith in my God. So when I prayed, they weren't empty words wondering if God would bring them to pass. When I prayed, I believed that God had cured my car, an inanimate object, and had made it work again for my pleasure, to take me on to my journey to the next place. I've had that type of thing happen to me 3 or 4 times in my life, and it's always worked. Because see, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, we think of this very ethereally. Oh yeah, well, I'm sort of a negative person, so bad things happen, or I don't have self-esteem, so, you know. No, it's a real pointed statement. As you think in your heart right now, let's get to the point. As you think in your heart right now, you are, so is he. Because Luke 6:45 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good." When? Right now. "And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil." For of the abundance of the heart, here we are, the mouth speaketh. When I spoke to my computer and said, "You're a piece of junk," that's what was in my heart. I needed an attitude change, not a mind change, an attitude change, a heart change. When I spoke to my broken car, "You are well," that's what was in my heart. That's what was in my heart. Not because I had faith in myself, but because I had faith in God. That's what Jesus said in Mark 11:22. This is the point of this lesson. Not fig trees, not mountains. Those are examples to wrap around the truth, which is have faith in God. Have faith in God. Because God's word is his bond. Here's a psalm that you may want to write on a 3x5 card and put all over your house. God says in Psalm 89:34, listen, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips." Have faith in God. I just talked recently about the lost son. Why was he lost? Because he lost faith in his father. But when his faith in his father was restored in Luke 15, when his faith in his father was restored, the son's faith, that's when he got the ring, the robe, the shoes, the fatted calf. And you know, one of the main reasons that we don't have faith in God, seven-letter word, despair. Despair. Satan is a master of feeding the world despair. You know what despair means? It means to lose hope or confidence. You know, when I call my computer a piece of junk, at that moment I had despair. I had allowed the circumstances to inject despair into my life. When I switched my mind back to the hope that I could have because of confidence in God, Then I destroyed the tool of the adversary, and I was back walking in the inheritance of my father. See, people, we need to get our hopes up. But we need to get our hopes up in God, not in our ability. Now, our ability plays a part, yes, but folks, in the equation of how life works, it is really a small part in the whole overall equation. See, when you pray, believe what? Believe that God is a God of covenant, that he will not break nor alter the things that have gone out of his lips. Because when we don't believe that, most of us are cursing ourselves daily. We're speaking to ourselves words of despair, words of failure, words of why something can't happen, rather than speaking to ourselves the promises, the words of life that God says about us. God said it, that settles it. Now I can believe it or not believe it. But the words that we speak to ourselves are more important than any other words that we hear throughout the day. I heard a statistic one time that we speak something like 1,700 words a minute to ourselves, and our thoughts, they go so fast, they're just constantly coming at us. And probably between the automatic and the autonomic nervous system, that's probably right in there. Words are constantly being filtered through our mind. That's one of the reasons we need to be still and know that he is God, to just get quiet and listen to him. Some of us in the past were cursed by a loved one, a parent. I know that when I was young, that my mom and dad were always making a big deal out of my sister's looks, how beautiful she was and how she entered these beauty contests and so on and so forth. And I was the one that liked to be out in the garage, working on my bicycle, wearing a pair of blue jeans, things of that nature. And I'm telling you, I grew up as a child thinking that I was the ugly duckling, thinking that I must have been the ugliest thing on 2 feet, because whether they meant to or didn't mean to, they planted a curse in my heart. And then when I hit my freshman year in high school, well, actually by the seventh grade, and boys started coming around me frequently, and all of a sudden I had more boyfriends than you could shake a stick at, something in my mind said, well, I must not be too bad looking, because look at all these boyfriends I have, these people that are fighting each other to get a date with me. Again, I'm not saying these things to puff myself up, but people, I've gone through most of my life thinking I was a very physically unattractive and ugly person because of a thought planted in my head when I was a child. And on the scale of things in life, physical beauty is fleeting. But I'm using this to make a point that, as they say down in Georgia, I'm probably not as ugly as homemade sin. And yet, most of my life, that's how I perceive myself, because of the words of someone else. And so, see, these curses come into our life, but we have the choice of whether we want to hang on to them or not. But the reason I talk about this incident in my childhood is to make this point. If negative words are that powerful, and they are, how much more powerful is God's word of truth? You know, all through Romans we read, well, if sin did this, much more shall the grace of God do this. Or if sin brought this, much more shall the power of God bring this. The positive is always, always, always more powerful than the negative. And one of Satan's greatest tricks that we have bought into, that we can only blame on ourselves, is we time and time again choose to buy into the negative rather than the positive. Faith is powerful. Words are powerful. Power in words, the power in words is incredible. You know, I think about the Shunammite woman back in the Old Testament. Her son was deader than a doornail. He was flat out dead. But every person that asked her about her situation, she confessed what? It is well. It is well. It is well. But she didn't just sit there in her living room saying, it is well, it is well. What's wrong with you, God? Why aren't you fixing my child? She confessed it as well, and then she got up and did something about it. She got on her donkey and raced to the man of God. She got on her donkey and raced to the man of God. And when his servant came out, she would not just be satisfied with the servant Gehazi. She insisted that the man of God come to her home and raise her son from the dead. See, that's two parts, man. That's, wow. She hung in there. She confessed it as well, but then she did the action, the commensurate action, to hang in there until she received her answer. You know, when I was at that garage between Rome and Augusta, Savannah, those men said, this car is ruined. They said the block is broken. That's what they told me. Your block is broken in your engine. And I could have stood behind the car and mumbled to myself, no, God, my car's... God told me to speak to those men, to speak to that mountain, and to say to those men, you put that hose on my car because it is well in the name of Jesus Christ. It is healed in the name of Jesus Christ. That was my action I had to take. Now, I could have not spoken those words because I would have thought I felt really foolish saying that. I'm not saying that walking in faith doesn't take guts. It does. It takes boldness. It takes commitment. It takes a belief in God bigger than a belief in yourself that He is not going to let you look foolish in front of people. Because faith takes action. The action that Jesus took was speaking to that fig tree, and the disciples heard it. You know, they thought he was a little bit cuckoo in the upper story. What's he doing speaking to a tree? He put himself in a position where he could have looked very foolish. But you know what? When they came back 24 hours later and that tree was dying from the roots up, they weren't thinking how foolish he looked. They were scratching their heads going, wow. And in that state of mind, God got the glory. He looked at those disciples and said unto them, have faith in God. He didn't look at them and say, I've done this by some special power. He said, you can do this. You can say to your mountain, you can speak to your problem, you can speak to your situation, if you have faith in God, and you will get the same results. That's what Jesus taught those disciples. Keep your finger here for a second. Look at Psalm 33. Man, I love Psalms. I've been reading a lot of Psalms lately. Because you know what? We've had our fair share of stuff happen to us in the last couple years. We've had 4 major prolonged illnesses in our immediate family. Myself, my mother, Chris's sister, and my father. Unfortunately, 2 have resulted in death. The other two have resulted in healing and life. I wish I could tell you exactly why everything has worked the way it's worked, but at least we have shown some faith. At least we've had some faith to trust God. And I thank God for the times we have believed Him and we have seen His word come to pass. And by God's grace and mercy, we'll get better and better at that. But look at Psalm 33 and verse 8. You know, all that trouble on your doorstep could kill a person without faith in God, because you'd just lose all hope. You'd become filled with despair. But God is the God of hope. God is the God that keeps us going. It says in Psalm 33, verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Look at verse 9. If you've got a Bible, look at this verse, please. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. And the object lesson that Jesus was teaching His disciples is if they would get under the authority of God's word, they could do the same thing. Whatsoever you pray, when you pray, believe. Believe how? Having faith in God. The Lord brings the counsel of the heathen to naught. He makes the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the heathen in that garage was, your engine block is broken. That was the counsel of the heathen. I could have chosen to take it or not to take it. But it said in verse 11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The thoughts of His heart, oh man, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Psalm 89:34, my covenant. God said, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. See, God spoke the universe into being, And it says in Hebrews 1:3 that he still upholds all things by the word, by the word, by the word of his power. The power in words is more than we can even imagine. The universe was put into place by the word of God. In a figure of speech, words are the parent force of creation, because out of those words, things come into being. In our own life, our words, especially the words in our heart that we speak to ourselves, bring things into manifestation. People say, well, you can't create with words. You know, if you want that fig tree down, you got to go out and get a hatchet and chop it down. You know what brought the fig tree down? Words, words. People say you can't create with words, and yet that's exactly how God does it. That's exactly how God does it. That's exactly how the universe is set up to work, even in our life right now. The power of the words that you're thinking about what I'm speaking to you. If you think what I'm speaking to you is a lot of hooey, then guess what? It will not work for you. I can guarantee that. But if the words that I'm speaking to you are sparking thoughts in your heart right now of areas where you have spoken and seen good or bad things come to pass, and you're having an aha moment, then you can get into this law of life and you can make it work for you. Because it's not in the power of our words, it's in the power of His Word. We just simply harmonize with it. We just simply believe it. We just simply have faith in God. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, boy, doesn't the word guile, deception, and hypocrisies. See, hypocrisy is when we say we're trusting God, but we know in our heart we're not. We have a mask on. We're saying, oh yeah, God, I'll know you'll deliver me, but in your heart you're saying, but he really can't because of X, Y, Z. That's a hypocrisy. Laying aside all malice and guile, deception, and hypocrisy, wearing that mask and envy, and all evil speakings. What are evil speakings? Words, 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 words. Lay all that aside, it says. Lay it aside. And instead of that way of thinking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Talk to any nursing mother. They will tell you that when that baby latches onto their breast to nurse, it is like hitting their breast with a suction cup. They glom onto it. They latch on to that source of nourishment, that source of life, they latch onto it. And, you know, ask a nursing mother, let that baby take just one sip and then try to pull it away. That baby is going to pitch a fit. Why? Because they desire that life. They desire that nurture. They desire that comfort. People, that is exactly how we have to latch on to a word of God to us. When I say a word, I mean a word fitly spoken in that situation. You know, if my engine was smoking and I said, well, my engine's fine because God wants me to be in health. No. I had to take the information that applied to that situation and speak it in faith. And so we just grab on to that truth. We just suck into it for all that we're worth and let nothing take it from us. Nothing take it from us. There is more power in the words that we speak than in the atom bomb. I have heard that by scientists that there's enough power in a slice of bread to run an ocean liner from here to Europe. You know why? Because there is power in everything resident within the universe. There's power resident within the very atoms in the universe. And you know, there's only so many atoms that man can even split. What's it, uranium? Some things along that line. Most atoms in their structure, we can't even split those atoms. But the atom that we have been allowed to split, an atom, the smallest, you know, one of the smallest, it has smaller particles than that, but it's so small you can't see it with your human eye, an atom. That if man harnesses the power to split, that atom that God spoke into being, he can blow up an entire city with the power of that atom so small you can't even see it with your human eye. And that is the power resident. More power than that is resident within the words of God, because there's no word of God that is void of power. And it was the very word of God that set atoms in their place. And so if God spoke and set atoms in place, then what set them in place has to be higher than they are. Are you following me? If I can take my bicycle and move it from point A to point B, if I can take my bicycle and move it from the garage to the house, then I've got more power than the bicycle. It's under my authority. And this is the kind of power that we can tap into that is within our ability to tap into, given to us as an inheritance by God our Father. And that's why I say, what's your mountain? You know, let's go back. He spoke to the tree, right, in Mark 11. He spoke to the tree. They saw him speak to the tree. They thought, you're crazy. Well, the next day they didn't think he was so crazy when the tree was dead. And Jesus answering, verse 22, said unto them, have faith in God. Our faith, God is the dynamite. We're just the fuse. You know, the fuse is the most innocuous part of the dynamite. And it's our faith in God that lights the fuse. It's our faith in God that lights the fuse, that lights the fuse, that explodes the power, that brings God's promises to pass in the practical realm. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Speak to your mountain. Speak to your tree. Man, after I got healed a few months ago, I'd wake up in the morning and my glands would be all puffed out again, and I would literally go stand in the mirror, put my hands on the glands of my throat, and say, I command you to be well in the name of Jesus Christ. I claim my healing in the name of Jesus Christ. I command the swelling to go out. 30 minutes later, boom, they're back down. I'm feeling great, and I'm hanging on to, I'm continuing to enjoy my healing that I got months ago, because Satan came right in there and wanted to steal it from me. We continue to speak to that mountain, to be like that Shunammite. We keep going. We keep going. We get the desired end. And some of you out there may be saying, well, Peg, I've prayed and I haven't gotten any results. Well, James 4:3 says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. And you should have asked a mister. Just kidding. You ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. I truly believe that asking amiss is just asking without faith in God. It's either not asking according to his covenant promises, so we ask for something stupid, like asking to marry someone who's already married and got a wife. I mean, you can't ask for stuff like that. God's not going to give you that. We ask according to his word. And then we have faith. We have faith, and we speak words of power. Well, what are some of the categories? Like in health, 3 John 1:2. You know, people hear this how many times, and do we believe it? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. I didn't allow myself to enjoy that milk of the word for a long time. And I cried like a baby in my pain. And all I needed to do was get back on the milk of the word so that I could grow and be healed thereby. Prosperity. Psalm 35:27, let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You know what that is? That's the sincere milk of the word. When I claim that, having faith in God, God will show me how to saddle my donkey and run to the man of God. God will show me how to collect manna. God will show me how to speak to my broken engine in my car and heal it. Joy. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. See, God wants us to have emotional peace and joy. 1 Peter 1:8 says, Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. These are promises that aren't asking amiss. These are promises that are the bullseye of the target in a specific situation. And as I've said time and time again, there are over 900, at least 900 promises in the Word. Why? Because God loves you more than you love yourself. God is infinitely interested in your health and well-being and peace of mind, more so than an earthly parent. And knowing that, that is why I say that the life that you are living today is the direct result of your own words. That you've either, when you pray, believe, or when you pray, you've been talked out of it. You've glommed on, you've latched on to the lie, or you've latched on to despair, rather than latching on to the hope of God's deliverance. I know there are a lot of people out there saying, this is too simple to be true. And yet, isn't that what God is all about? That he says he made his word so simple that not even a fool needs to err therein? So all we need to do, folks, is start lining our life up with the promises of God. That when we talk to him, pray, when we talk to him, when we pray, when we commune with him, that we believe the conversation. That we believe that these things are coming to pass. And that when we have a specific need in our life, rather than run around and complain about it to 10 or 12 friends so they, oh, Peggy, yeah, I'll pray for you. Oh, I feel so bad for you. I'm not saying don't ever speak something that's negative in your life, a problem that you're having in your life, but speak it in confidence. Okay, I'm not well today. Things aren't well. I'm not having the best day I've had, but God is healing me as I speak. But my God shall deliver me according to his glory in Christ Jesus. And even though you're having a bad day, you hang on. You hang on. You accentuate the positive. So even talk about your problems in a positive light. And then when you pray, believe. I was telling Chris today, I mean, so often in my prayers, when I'm blessing God or I'm thanking him because he's created the earth and he's my creator and he's done such wonderful things, my belief level is percolating real high. It's like a 10 or 11. But then when I say, and Lord, and I thank you for whatever, for the financial need we have today or for my health today, I can sense in my heart, I can sense in my own spirit whether my belief level is the same as it was when I was confessing all those positive things about God. And I'm learning to get my belief level in those requests and supplications at the same level as when I'm simply thanking God for his goodness, for speaking forth, exalting him and worshiping him for his majesty. Does that make sense? Because when I'm telling God how great he is, I got no problem having faith there. When I'm worshiping God, I've got no problem having faith there. But sometimes when I come to him with my supplication, I need to have that same level of faith, because the same God that I worship and believe in, his greatness, is the same God who has said he's going to supply all my needs. The same God who said if he speaks it with his lips, he's going to bring it to pass, because he's not a man that he should lie. So my message for today is, when you pray, believe. When you pray, believe, whether it's worship, thanksgiving, praise, or supplication, believe, believe, believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith. Lord God Almighty, I praise your holy name. I bless your name, dear Lord. I bless the Lord with my whole soul, and I forget not all your benefits. You have healed me from my diseases. You have delivered me from my iniquities. You do satisfy my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh, Lord, let me press deeper into your love, because I know that you love me more than I love myself. So teach me to walk in your love. Help me to have faith in you, dear God, because you have made me an able minister of your gospel, and you want the world to see your goodness. You want the world to see men and women that have faith in God. This is your desire, and I desire to walk according to your desire. So I love you, Lord, and I thank you for making my relationship with you stronger and stronger every day through the precious work, the accomplished work of my risen Savior, my Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.